thought it was like going to be a bunch of hippies out in the middle of the desert having sex and doing drugs.
Ah.
Well, I don't want to go if it's not like that.
You are listening to We Are the Stigma, a show about an addict husband and alcoholic wife breaking stigmas one at a time. We will be chatting with like-minded individuals using honesty, open-mindedness, and humor. Thanks for listening. Our episodes deal with potentially triggering topics. We are not doctors, and the opinions expressed are our own. If at any time you feel the need for support, please contact your local crisis center. For more information, visit wearethestigma.com/resources. Hey guys, you're listening to We Are the Stigma. My name is Melissa, and today it's just me. Cody is out sick. We did not want to prolong this anymore because it's such a great episode. So today I'm flying solo. Before I get into what this episode is about, because it's so, so good, and I have so much to say about it, I just want to thank you guys for being here, showing up for us, showing up for yourselves, whether you've been here on this journey with us since the beginning, or if you've been with us, this is your first time, your second time, your third time. I just appreciate so much having anybody here, and I appreciate you taking the time to learn something new. Today, we are talking with Carrie. Now, Carrie is from season 3. This is not our first time chatting with her. If you want to go back and listen to season 3, episode 2, where we break through shame and addiction, Carrie is incredible. We consider her a friend. She is doing so much for ending stigma and helping women, and she's super powerful. And it's funny because she reached out to us and was like, hey, you know, like, I would love to come back on and chat with you guys and do a couple updates. And of course, we felt so lucky because we wanted to have her back on. But as this often happens, and we're actually going to talk about this, is that imposter syndrome sets in, right? And Cody and I were like, oh, she would probably not want to talk to us, blah, blah, blah. So just to receive that message from her was incredible. We love Carrie so much. I'm just super excited to get this out there finally. We recorded this episode in 2022. We're going to talk about Burning Man, which was September 2022. So look out for that flashback. I just re-listened to the episode right now, right before recording this, and everything is still so relevant today, and it's still so powerful as it was back then. We talk about Burning Man, which is an incredible experience, and I really want to go. Transformation and creating your own reality. We talk about ending the stigma around herpes. We talk about self-worth and negative self-talk, having conversations of abortion, healing past versions of ourselves, honoring past versions of ourselves, sobriety, recovery. Like, there is so much in this episode to unpack, and I am so grateful for it. It's truly like an episode full of like life-changing moments for Carrie, which in turn lets us reflect on our own lives, right? What's funny is talking to Carrie in season 3 to talking to Carrie in current time, it's like two different Carries. And what I love so much about social media and connecting with other humans is getting to see that growth and getting to see that transformation, right? Because when we watch others bloom and when we watch others grow, we find hope for ourselves, right? And when we find hope and compassion for ourselves and we're proud of other humans, it just makes the world a better place and it makes our lives better. So I honor Carrie, and I'm so grateful that she came back on. We will link her information in the bio, give her a follow on Instagram. You know, she's basically just supporting women to live out loud, and it's incredible. Actually, I went to a workshop of hers a couple weeks ago, and let me tell you that I felt so safe to be vulnerable, and I felt so like held and honored. It's like bringing tears to my eyes right now. She's just this beautiful butterfly, and I love her so very much. And I know that I will be working with her more. But yeah, go check her out. Go give her a follow. Carrie, thank you so very much for coming on and sharing with us. We love you to the moon and back. And we love all of you so much. You can follow us on Instagram _WeAreTheStigma. We're also on Facebook _WeAreTheStigma. If you feel up to it, if you'd like to, the best way to support us is to go on Apple iTunes and give us a 5-star review. It helps us break that algorithm and get our message out. Our DMs are open. We are always looking for guests. We are always looking for inspiration. So if there's a topic you feel like discussing, send it our way. And if you feel like, you know, coming on and sharing, hit us up like Carrie did, you know, hit us up. We love having these conversations. you know, we are here and we're happy and we love you all so very much. And I hope you guys all have a beautiful couple of weeks. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Carrie, welcome back. You are a repeat guest because we love you so much. How are you?
I am fabulous, and I'm really excited that you guys asked me to come back.
Oh, it was an easy yes. Like, both of us were like, oh my God, we'd love to have Carrie back on. So it was, we were glad you asked.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I love you guys.
Same.
We always have great conversation.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Yeah. You're one of the people that is so easy to talk with, even though, like Cody said earlier, when he's like, you don't know me, but like it as a friend, like an internet friend, you are internet friend.
Yeah,
I feel like I know you.
For sure. Totally. I was like, well, maybe she does. I don't know. She's had a really deep experience at Burning Man, which we're going to talk about in just a second. So, you know, I honestly just want to get into that a little bit because I think it so much goes into kind of piggybacks off our last episode with you, which just talks about growth and transformation. And, you know, we're going to get back into some of the topics that we talked about, whether it's herpes or, you know, substance abuse or, you know, abortion. But the first thing we were talking to you before we started about your experience at Burning Man, I think it's such an amazing thing to share with our audience. What do you mind just telling them what you were telling us about the, you know, the post office experience with giving a little bit of background for people who don't know what Burning Man exactly was, like we didn't?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, so I'll start with, you know, going to Burning Man, I originally thought this is like a bunch of like dirty hippies in the middle of the desert, having sex, doing drugs and partying. And I get to go with my friends and, you know, be the friend that's responsible and gets everybody home. And when I arrived there, it was a really big, well-organized event. You get a book that tells you everything that's going on 24 hours a day. There's like hundreds of camps, and each camp is responsible for contributing something to the community. So for example, we contributed breakfast. Some people contribute food. There's drinks, there's bars, there's yoga, meditation. There were lectures. There was an orgy dome. There was a nudist camp that some people provided showers, hair braiding, massages. It was whatever you wanted was available. And I found AA meetings. And so it was really interesting because I was like, oh my God, anything I want to do
is here.
Did you go to an AA meeting there?
I did not. I didn't find it until towards the very end of the week. And they, because of how big the community is, people only offer it during certain times. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, we're going to offer two meetings or three meetings or something like that, like in your local area. So, you know, so when I went, I was like, my intention for going is to surrender, to learn to surrender, create trust, and create connection within community.
Can I just interrupt you just real quick? Is that something that people who go to Burning Man, is that like what a lot of people do is set an intention, or is that something that you just decided to do before you went?
You know, I'm not sure if other people really do that, but within me, my group of people, we had discussed like, what is our intention for going?
Cool.
What I am finding through this whole process of transformation is, when I don't set my intention, I have leaky energy, and that kind of creates space for other things to occur rather than being clear on my vision and my intention and where I'm going. And so for me personally, setting an intention before I do something, just creates, you know, I become grounded and I have clarity on where I'm going with it.
Direction. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
So, so while I was there, it was just like, it was really interesting. So I was telling you guys the story of the post office. We went to the post office because there's no money exchanged and they had free postcards. I'm like, cool. And I get to the counter and the woman asked me how many years I'd been coming. And I shared with her that I was a virgin. Like, it's my first year. And she was really excited. And she started asking me all of these questions, like, what was my intention? What was I creating? What was I experiencing? Had I visited other camps? Had I created connection with other people? And I looked at my friend and I was like, oh my God, this woman is grilling me, you know, because I just wanted to get my postcards.
Yeah.
And he goes, wow, how interesting that that's what you see, because I see a woman who's trying to connect with you and you're resisting her. And it was a just notice moment for me, like, oh, wow, like two of us are here at the same event and we both are interpreting it completely different. And I kind of took that with me, like, okay, let me notice that. And I'll, you know, just look at that the rest of the week. And it was like experience after experience was happening. It, you know, complete moments of surrender, being stuck out in the middle of the desert in a whiteout, not being able to go anywhere and having to sit and wait out, you know, the dust storm. And
that's what a dust storm is. It's called a whiteout.
Oh yeah. And then you can't go anywhere because you can't see in front of you.
Yeah.
And yeah, just sitting there and being in complete surrender of, because immediately what I want to do is get up and figure out a way to haul ass and get out of there. And then recognizing that that may not be the smartest thing to do, cause I have no idea where I am, you know? And then, you know, losing my phone in the middle of the freaking desert and this couple just returning it back to me within the hour, returning it back to me. Oh my God, we found your phone in the dirt. And we just wanted to bring it back to you right away. It was just kind of like, wow.
That's so cool. Like everyone's taking care of each other, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the feeling that's created there. You feel like people are in support of you and they're looking after you. And there's like this love that's created and like this bond that you create with everyone that you come in contact with, because everyone just wants you to have an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And so like towards the end of the week is I kept thinking about, man, we're going to leave soon. And I just started to get kind of sad because it's like, it really was such a powerful experience because I haven't connected with people on that level before. And especially complete strangers, you know? And I thought, man, what if the real world could be like this? How amazing, you know, would that be? And then the thought popped in my head of, what if the real world is exactly like this and you're choosing to see something different, just like you did at the post office? Mm. And it was just like, oh, wow. Could that really be? Because it's so true. What you see is your reality. You create everything in existence. So what am I focused on? And, you know, from there, we left and went to Oregon to meet some of my partner's family. And it was like the experience just continued because these were the type of people that he surrounds himself with. And I was like, oh my God, this is what the real world is like this. I'm just choosing to see something different. And that was like a very powerful aha moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's transformational, right? Because it completely adjusted the view of how you potentially could perceive things, mm-hmm. right? And you realized in a lot of circumstances, you're the one who is creating this perception and you have the ability to, you know, not ignore it, but choose to look at other things and see that beauty coming forth, right?
And I feel like right now, like with everything that's going on in society, like that is such an important connection to make right now, because mm-hmm. it can feel at times that we're all against each other. For you to have that experience for 10 days where you're just connecting with strangers, and like you said, what if this is how the world really is? It's a good reminder that like society has potential. At least it would be for me, mm-hmm. because I look at society with just such, you know, low thoughts right now. Like I just look at, I don't have hope. You know what I mean? So to have that experience and be able to like find hope in modern times, that's pretty cool. That's really good. I'm super stoked for you. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was really, thank you. It was, and then I even realized of, wow, I'm looking at the world with disdain and some hostility, like through the eyes of active addiction, right? It's like, that's what I'm so conditioned. I've been conditioned to look at the world this one way. And yeah, we do a lot of work, but there's always like another layer to peel off. Oh, yeah. And it is so true that, you know, what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And I am the creator of my own reality. And I think that was what really sunk in for me. The learning from that experience was you get to create whatever you want. And so whatever you see is exactly what you will create in your space.
And it's also, you know, it sounds like it opened up your heart too. You know, it's like you probably, a lot of the spiritual, you know, people will talk about having a closed heart or an open heart. And it sounds like in that moment, your heart opened to the possibility of viewing things through love and connectedness, as opposed to keeping your heart closed and being confrontational. And, you know, why is this woman bothering me? You know, why is she giving me the, you know, 10th degree or anything like that? And what's so cool about it too, is a lot of people go on these to Burning Man and places like that to experience something larger and have some type of breakthrough. And you actually had one. So that's pretty rad.
It's almost like, how could you not?
Yeah.
Especially to be coming at it with a sober mind. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you can also have amazing experiences too under the influence, but
wouldn't you like to know? No, just kidding.
But it almost sounds like, yeah, like, how could you not? I guess unless you went into it. Yeah. I mean, Carrie could have stayed the post office. Carrie could have decided that she was going to try to get out of that whiteout. Carrie could have not
been completely stressed about her phone and felt like the trip was ruined. And
so, Carrie, next year, go ahead and just put us on your list of how to get in there. And
oh my God,
we're gonna go with you. Like, Cody,
you guys get to go. Everyone gets to go one time in their life. I came back telling everyone that.
It's so funny because I saw pictures of Burning Man of people trying to leave because I guess the traffic was just like insane. This is just a picture I saw online. And I told Cody, I was like, oh, I didn't know that Burning Man still existed, but I was confused with Woodstock. And he's like, oh no, yeah, it still definitely exists. And I was like, oh my God, like, we gotta go. And he's like, oh, I would never. And then I think literally like the next day you posted that and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Carrie just went.
Yeah. I just assumed it had lost its magic, but it sounds like it's incomplete and full effect still.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, you get whatever you want out of it. Like you could go and party. Like there were people that came just Friday, Saturday and Sunday to party and that was the experience they wanted to create for themselves. But I went in wanting to create something completely different. And it was interesting too, because when I came back, so many of my friends were like, yeah, isn't it just a bunch of crazy people in the middle of the desert? And I'm like, I know, I thought it was too. And it can be if that's what you want.
Yeah, totally. That option's there. Yeah, that sounds fun too. Now, do you plan on going back every year? Or is this something where you plan on definitely going back again, just not every year?
I definitely plan on going back next year. I don't know if it'll be every year, but definitely next year. It was that powerful.
That's so cool. I'm so happy for you, Carrie. That's awesome. I love transformational moments.
Absolutely. And if you need a partner, bring me.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll stay sober with you. Maybe.
So listen, I want to piggyback. I mean, I want to kind of switch topics real quick because we have so much, you know, stuff that we want to catch up with you on. And the one thing that I've wanted to, that I've been so curious about, because I know for me, starting to be more vocal on, like, I'm on TikTok and those types of things, I've been getting a lot of feedback of people, you know, telling me that I've been helping them. And when we had you on, I think you were really towards the beginning, I guess, of your speaking out and giving a voice to people who have herpes and letting them know, you know, breaking the stigma. And I wanted to know, what has that process been like for you since we last interviewed you or had a conversation with you? Has it been, I'm assuming, just this amazing experience that, you know, people have really been coming to you, thanking you, and have you been able to connect with people? And also, where's your journey at right now?
You know, that's so interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. For me, I had been so vocal about speaking about herpes, and then, you know, sometimes that little voice comes back in your head and it's kind of like, well, is that all I have to talk about? Is abortion and herpes all I have to talk and you know, addiction all I have to talk about? And who really wants
those
to
are
hear
three
this?
Pretty big topics.
Oh yeah, right. And it's like, you know, are people getting tired? And it's really not even about other people, but I want to make, like, the voice will want to make it about other people. And so I've like silenced myself for a little while. And I was like, wow, I'm really getting into my shit, you know, and having that conversation where it wasn't about, like, there's not the fear of speaking about it anymore. I mean, I can still speak about it, but it was, oh my God, am I boring people? Is this all I have to offer people? Mm-hmm. And it was that kind of conversation that was happening. And then I had a friend reach out to me and was like, you know, why aren't you talking about herpes anymore? And I was like, you know, I feel like I can only choose one thing. And it's like, if you listen to the stories that I create, like, I can only choose one thing to talk about. Let's pick one. And that's all we're going to talk about. But I'll create these stories that will hold me back and reinforce the fact that I think I'm undeserving and I'm not good enough to continue. And it's that I have that constant awareness of being on it. Like, okay, great. Notice it and let's keep it moving, you know? So yeah, that's what I've really been going through this past year of well, what's okay to talk about? What's not? Everything's okay to talk about.
Yeah. I think that's just something that social media has kind of started.
I was thinking the same thing. About a niche and talking about only one certain
thing. Condition us that like you have to, if you want to connect with people, it has to be about one thing. And if you want to see growth and if you want to, you know, basically, like I said, connect and connect on a bigger level, you have to pump out content that's about one thing. And I know that Cody struggles with that sometimes because, you know, for the most part, especially on TikTok, he does just talk about recovery, but he's also passionate about, you know, spirituality and everything like that. So that's awesome. That's beautiful for you to kind of become aware of that, like you said.
I guess my question then too is how much of it was, did you still feel called to it? Or did it feel also, you know, you did have that inner dialogue, like who wants to hear from me? Why do I only talk about this? But did you also
just not
feel called to talk about something else? Or more, was it more of you felt like a general silencing on yourself?
So what was coming up when I was talking about herpes was the energy behind the message. And I started to feel like sometimes the message was a little aggressive, perhaps. And of course, see, I'm sitting there judging it. Like it was my come from was, am I using it as a weapon? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I wanted to date. And my big thing was, you know, I want to get that out of the way. And I just want to throw it out there to whomever I'm dating. Or whoever I meet, and it, like right when we meet, like I just want to let you know, hey, I test positive for herpes. Hi, I'm Carrie. I test positive for herpes. And when I started to think about that, like, wow, am I using it as a weapon? Then I began to question myself and question the message, and I started going down like a downward spiral. And it all led to these self-worth conversations, and I realized that, you know, that voice is never going to go away. It's going to be present with me all the time. And so I get to be aware, and I also get to learn to silence it and continue, because the voice isn't bad. The voice just wants to keep me safe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was like the experience at Burning Man, right? Like I want to protect myself from connecting with people because I want to keep myself safe. And I recognize that that's a very big thing for me, is safety. Especially within relationships. And yeah, like that is one of the biggest things for me is safety. And
I can tell you've been through a lot, and you are trying to protect yourself, and that only makes sense. And, you know, it's like you said, having the awareness of this protection, right? When is this protection healthy? And when is this protection harming me? And when is it, you know, exerting too much safety measures on my behalf and preventing me from, you know, getting further. So
it's like shadow work. Like you're not trying to erase these parts of you. You shouldn't erase that voice in you. Like you said, it's not a bad voice. It's just trying to protect you. So to find that acceptance within these things that may or may not be that we could perceive as faults, but they're really not. They're just part of who we are and part of our human experience. But I love that. That's beautiful. Like you've grown so much. Like, I don't know. Did you have a spiritual awakening in the past couple of years?
She's just been doing a lot of work. Yeah, I can hear it in her vibe and her voice. It's same with me. It's just this very,
it's like this,
it's soothing.
Yeah. And like not mature. Like that's not the word I'm looking for, but you just seem more connected to yourself. Yeah,
I totally agree.
And more, just like connected to yourself and like, yeah.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, I mean, one thing that I noticed was, you know, the protection piece, like I'm still to a degree wearing a suit of armor, and do I want to live my life in protection? Like what does that really create for me? And when I really unwrapped that, like, yeah, I can listen to this voice and silence myself and play small and do all the things and remain safe. But that's a really fucking lonely place to be.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm just by myself.
So just for a fact of stigmas, did you find when you were dating, I know you're dating now, but when you were like actively searching for a partner, did you find that when you would come out and say, hey, I tested positive for herpes? Did people care? Were people bothered by it?
No, not at all. It was so funny. I have not experienced any type of rejection towards testing positive for herpes. So yeah, this was all just like an internal dialogue as far as me speaking about it. It was just this internal dialogue that had gotten louder and louder. And it was about, okay, I get to reset my energy. And sometimes I get to do that where it's like, okay, I get to disappear for a little bit and reset and get grounded in what I want to create next. Because unless, like for me, I've really been recognizing that my energy will become chaotic. And then that's where I become reactive. And I start making these choices that from a reactive state that aren't necessarily supportive. And I'm not getting the desired result. So rather than keep that momentum going, like, okay, let's stop and get clear with where you want to go with your life and what you want to create. And, just take some time.
Absolutely. I love that. So when we get back to just, how you kind of went where you weren't talking about, what are the things right now that are interesting you? What are the things that are, that have kind of shown up in your life now, as opposed to the things that we talked to you about then? What do you feel called to share about now?
I had a huge breakthrough with abortion this year too. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing. So I had a group program written for women, and I wrote it like 3 years ago, and I put it away because I remember looking at it and I was like, this sucks. And this isn't going to support anyone. And I saved it on my computer and I reopened it months ago, and I read it and I was like, wow, this is so good. How did I ever think that this was terrible?
Good for you.
Oh my God. And, but I was afraid to pull the trigger, and I was working with a coach, and we kept talking, she was like, maybe there's something else that you get to release. And, it was the grieving. She's asked me, have you ever grieved that first abortion that you had at 14? And I said, I don't think I've, I talk about it that I had one, but I don't think I've ever gone back and actually spoken about it or looked at it. I gloss over it. Like that's one thing that I'd never really looked at. And so she walked me through this process of like going back to that day. And she was asking me all of these questions, like, what do you see in the room? And I was, the first thing I noticed was that everything was really dark and dreary. And I was telling her all the things that I remembered. And then I stopped and I was like, I don't think that this is accurate because I think that I've created this story. And she was like, keep going, just keep it moving. And I'm sharing with her all of the horrible things that I'm seeing and experiencing in the moment. And she took me back out of the room and she had me go back in with the 14-year-old. And and so I got to have a conversation with her and take her out of that room and shut the door. And it was like one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had, because I felt this sense of freedom of finally, like I had left her in that room for like 30 years. And I never went back because I was so afraid to go back there. And it was just like this space of going back and releasing her, like saving her.
Yeah.
And walking out of the room and just feeling this sense of freedom, like, oh, wow. She's finally free.
That's beautiful.
That is powerful.
It's like reparenting yourself. You showed up. Yeah. Good for you, honey. That's awesome.
I mean, that just blew me away. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, just I had the full vision of you walking in there and rescuing yourself at 14 and finally opening the door. That is powerful.
Oh, it was huge. And then, after that, I felt so, my energy felt so different and I felt so empowered. And then that's when I launched my group program. And it was like, I didn't expect it to be successful. Well, I'm not gonna say I didn't expect it to be successful. I didn't expect to get the amount of women wanting to participate. I was kind of like shocked, like, oh my God, this is so fantastic.
Yeah.
And And I look back and I was just like, wow, the things that we allow to hold ourselves back from experiencing success and joy and doing what we really love. And as long as I stay in alignment with who I really truly am and the message that I want to deliver, then I'm going to be just fine.
You know? Totally. And yeah, it sounds, like, I mean, I have a question just in general. Was your kind of your revisiting this, was this in line with the potential Supreme Court overturning and then overturning, or was this kind of separate throughout this year?
It came up around that time. And it was funny because I was having all of these emotions come up and I didn't really get where they were coming from. And so I was so grateful that I was working with someone who recognized it and was like, hey, this is where we get to go.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and it everything works out, man. I always have like
for real.
The right people around me all the time that see it's, shit that I don't
that
see.
That was my thought process. Exactly. I was thinking about to the person at the post office and then, you know, this coach just absolutely setting about these people just laying the groundwork for truly transformational moments in your life.
And you being open and willing. What it reminded me of, like, of course, like when you first wrote that course, the imposter syndrome came in and you said this is trash. But what it reminded me of is like maybe just the universe, like society wasn't quite ready for it yet, you know? And then you came back at a time when these conversations are so vital, and you rewrote it, and it was almost like past you wrote it for the future, you know, and that's just what it reminded me of. And of course, like you said, you know, you didn't like it, and it was like this imposter syndrome, of course, came into play. But also, I just wonder how much it was just the universe preparing,
being destined for it to happen. Yeah, it just wasn't time.
It wasn't going to reach the people that it really needed to reach, and so I just think that's really cool because, yeah, like I said, like obviously, right now is such a vital time to have conversations.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't even think I was at a place where I was capable to see the power in it. Mm-hmm. In that moment years ago. And that's okay. Because back then I was definitely living in self beat up. And so it wouldn't have mattered what I wrote. I could have written, you know, that's something true. Amazing.
Yeah. You would have been like, this is shit.
This is shit. Yeah.
Oh,
this is crap.
That.
Let me burn it.
I mean, what that coach did with you, I just want to really hammer this point home for our listeners, because I've had a similar experience with the To Be Magnetic. They have a course or whatever. And I did kind of the same thing where I when one of my first memories as a little girl is my parents at the time, he was my dad, and they were arguing and, you know, and how much pain my mom was in because he had cheated on my mom, and I'm just looking at my shoes. But anyway, it's this very like powerful memory for me as a little girl, and it was the same idea where you go and you witness it and you take notice of it happening to you, and then you go back in and you show up now as that, as a person, and you show up for that little child, and you heal yourself through that, and you give yourself what you needed in that moment. And I remember when I was doing this, it just broke me the fuck open, you know, and to hear that you've had also a similar experience, like it's so important to be open and willing and to seek out these things, because there is real truth in healing yourself. And this is not to say that therapy is not important and meds is not important, all these wonderful things, but we also do have a certain amount of control where we can really have these experiences. And so I really want to hammer that point home for our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, we have everything we need inside of us. And sometimes we just need a little bit of direction on where to go with it. And yeah, because we have the ability to heal ourselves. I think that's one of the most powerful things I've learned again this year too, is I have everything I need inside of me. And when I'm looking to other people for answers, they don't have my answer. They can guide me, but they don't have my answer.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm the only one that has my answer. And, you know, and I find also like, I look back. Because even now I'll catch myself, oh, this whole week I've been like, I want candy. I want ice cream. Like, damn, why am I looking outside of myself again? You know, like, shit. Like, why aren't you wanting to sit with yourself, Carrie? What's coming up? And, you know, I'm actually writing a workshop on vulnerability. And I'm really fucking uncomfortable with vulnerability and sharing certain things. And so I'm trying to avoid doing this writing this workshop. I'm avoiding it. And so I'm like, well, let me go buy some ice cream. Like, let me go find something else to do.
To fill the void. Yep.
Exactly. And it's so funny. I'm like, wow, that's cool that it's still, you know, I used to judge that so much. Like, look at you, Carrie, you just haven't learned a thing. And I'm like, not making it right or wrong or good or bad. It's just like, oh, notice that. And you know, is it effective or not?
Yeah. Like, what's going on there? What's without judgment.
Yeah.
I love that.
I wish I could do that.
Right. Maybe if you go to Burning Man.
Yeah, maybe. All right. I'll go.
So Carrie, I mean, like, we could talk to you forever.
I just want to say one thing before we switch. I was thinking of when both of you girls were talking about, you know, going back, and I saw this really cool quote. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but I think it can hit really deeply for the people who, you know, are searching to heal them past selves. Is like, we are, like, as adults, we are the people that we were hoping would be in our lives when we were children. And I just, you are that adult that you childhood you needed. And I just thought that was so powerful because it's so true. Because, you know, we have, if there's anything, if we can allow ourselves to, the compassion we'll have towards ourselves, you know, if that door opens up, is like nothing anybody else would have, obviously, because it's you, you know? So I just, that's what I just kept thinking, is like, both of you are the people that little, you know, that 14-year-old and that little girl
needed.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. It's really cool. So how long, we're going to just pivot. How long have you been clean and sober for?
Oh, January will be 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
And how has your, because it is recovery month, and we've been talking, Cody and I have been talking a lot about, you know, different paths to sobriety and recovery. And what is your recovery look like today? If I remember correctly, you didn't really ever go to meetings, right? You weren't a meeting person. Is that right, Carrie? Or is that wrong?
No, I did go to a ton of meetings.
Okay. So
But that has, I've toned that down, and I realized that I get to incorporate other things into my recovery. What worked for me when I was brand new doesn't work for me now. And you know, another thing I've learned is that I get to recreate my relationship with things. Like when I first got clean, it was, oh my God, you can't talk to men. And, you know, I had worked at a strip club and all these things. And so you have to dress a certain way. And it was almost like a relearning. Like, I was a baby learning how to live again.
Yeah.
And I, you know, going through this whole process of, so for example, Burning Man, everyone wears costumes. And because I've been so conditioned to, I've always showed off my body, because that's how I made money. I hadn't been doing that for years. And so my boyfriend's like, you get to wear whatever you want to wear. Like, you work really hard to look the way you do. You get to just wear whatever you want. And for a man to say that to me was kind of like, oh, okay. especially one that I'm in relationship with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I get to recreate my relationship with clothes, right? Because it's not even clothes. It's what the clothing represented back then. And I'm still attaching it to me. And I was like, wow, I'm making it mean something that it doesn't mean any longer. And absolutely. So I get to create something new. So yeah, I was like, cool. I went out and got all these costumes and just, you know, dressed however I wanted and was free to like be fully self-expressed and not.
Absolutely.
Yeah
that's what came to my mind, is the word free, because you're not doing it for male attention, which if you were would be totally fine anyway, but you're not doing it as a way to, you know, like you said, make money, or you're just doing it because it's how you feel. It's what you want to do. And so that is totally like freedom was the first thing that came to my mind. So, so you recreate, and is your partner, is he in recovery? Is he sober or?
He is not in recovery. But he doesn't he doesn't really drink or, you know, do anything.
He's a normie.
He's a normal guy. I'm like, oh, how is this going to work? But he totally respects my stance on everything and very supportive. And and that's one thing I love, is that he's very supportive. And before we went to Burning Man, we had a conversation about, hey, what's this going to look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you requesting support with while you're there? And, you know, make sure that you get to have open communication with me if you're uncomfortable or if you want to talk about anything.
Mm, so I love him.
Yeah, like creating a relationship with someone like that is new for me too. So I'm like, I'm recreating, learning to create a new relationship with love. I've created a new relationship when it came to food already. And now I'm creating, you know, a new relationship with clothing. It's just really funny how all these little things come up. And I've really noticed how I've made them like mean something about me in my past. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like, I've had to remove them completely. And now it's coming full circle of, oh, you get to reintroduce this back in and define it any way you want, but it doesn't make anything mean anything about you. It's not about you. It's about what the thing represents. Recognize it and redefine it.
That's beautiful. I love that.
So much growth.
I know, Carrie.
Very impressed. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible. You. It sounds like, you know, you've really been doing the inner work, and I mean, the growth is just, it's just beautiful to see. I mean, you were incredible back then. I love it. It's, sometimes we could talk to people after 2 years and things could be going pretty shitty, you know, it could be on a downturn, and it really sounds like you've got a real, I love the part about how you keep bringing up in a non-judgmental way.
Yeah.
Because I know that's such a key to handling your inner dialogue and to handling how you perceive things. Right. And it's for me, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that that's something that you have set an intention of being aware of as much as you can.
Yeah. I mean, I am judgmental as hell. and I know that about myself. And I will catch myself when I'm judging someone else. I'm like, oh, okay, that's about you. And what is it about you? What is this person or thing, whatever's happening, what does it represent in your life that it's bringing up all of these feelings that you feel like you're making it wrong? And so I get to, you know, explore that today and then recognize, and that's, you know, I guess for me in the beginning, I made myself wrong in early recovery, and in a way I kind of needed to, because what I was doing wasn't working. The way I was living wasn't working. So I had to make that wrong and recreate from there. And now it's like going back and recognizing that, hey, maybe that wasn't wrong. It was just a process you had to go through to get here.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's about, you know, going back and, you know, forgiving that old version of me. And she existed to get me here. You know what I mean? If she didn't exist, I wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. Is there something that when you did start kind of looking at yourself, trying to look at yourself, like you said, like when you're eating because you're trying to avoid writing, is there some, and you decide to look at that as not a bad thing, not a good thing, just a thing. Is there something you did in particular to start changing that mindset? Is it a book you read? Is it a course you took? Is it something you just stumbled upon?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the coaching that I've received, and that I'm actively doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in communication with my sponsor, like, you know, every other day, at least. I'm actively working with people, with my clients. I make sure I have a coach that I'm working with. So I think it's just making sure that I'm diving into the work so that I can always be in a space of growth, because I can only, you know, for me, I know my purpose is to support other women and other people, you know, no judgment against men.
How dare you?
Not you, Cody, get away.
I'm out of here.
And it's like, you know, I get to keep myself constantly in the work because I can only take people where I've been. And that was a just notice thing for me, is a lot of the coaching that I received this past year was about, you know, stop making yourself wrong. Stop judging yourself. It's not right, wrong, good or bad. It just is. And when you come from that place of like that neutral place, and I'm not making myself wrong, then the judgment slowly begins to kind of fade. And it's still present. Trust me, it will come back all the time.
Yeah.
But it's having that awareness of, oh, there you go again, you know, judging yourself. And cool. I mean, you just did this and it's not a big deal. You know? Yeah. I mean, and like a whole tub of ice cream. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You just ate three rolls of sushi by yourself. It's okay.
Yeah. Was it effective? Did it work out for you?
I mean, he loved it. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's just like what you said just summed it up perfectly. Like if you're in a constant state of growth, how could you not hopefully find compassion for yourself? You're just doing, you know, you're just constantly, I wanted to say you're just doing the best you can, but I'm trying to get away from that term. But anyway, yeah, when you're in the constant state of growth, you know, you're going to keep hopefully being proud of yourself and taking these little steps and loving yourself, blah, blah, all those beautiful things.
Yes, all right. Do you have anything
you feel like you haven't touched on, we haven't talked about?
And also tell everyone what you're working on. What's going on with Carrie?
What's Carrie doing?
Oh my gosh. Carrie has Carrie's up to a lot this year. I have created an 8-week program called Self-Evolved Loving Forgiveness. And it's for women. And it basically is, I've taken all of like the best of the best things I've learned over the years of coaching and like combine them into this program that it really allowed me to break through shame, like really step into using my voice and cultivate confidence and also learn to like love my body, and forgive myself. Mm. And, I ran a beta earlier this year and it was just, it was amazing. And I had such an incredible experience that I'm doing it again this year. And I have no idea where I'm going to go with it after that. But but that's what I'm up to right now. And
people can find that information on Instagram.
Yes. At Carrie Polaro is the tag.
Awesome. Are you also on TikTok?
I am on TikTok, but you know, I haven't really been using TikTok. So
that's okay.
Yeah, I was feeling a little inadequate, Cody, when you were talking about that.
That's how I felt on Instagram. That's why I went to TikTok. So don't you worry, but you're doing great over there.
Yeah, I tried TikTok for a little bit.
Yeah, she hated it.
It's too stressful. It's too stressful. Yeah,
I'll get over there eventually one day.
If you want, you don't even have to. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all right. There's no pressure. Do you feel like there's anything we haven't touched on? Anything else you want to chat about?
No, I think everything that was presenced was exactly what needed to be discussed.
Mm, it's been incredible for me. You've left me with so much feeling and thoughts. I just
want to come over
it.
For dinner.
Oh my gosh. If you're ever in San Diego or wherever, are you in Florida?
I am in Clearwater. And it's so funny. I was just talking to my boyfriend the other day about moving to California.
California sucks. I'm just joking. No, California itself is very good. It's a great state. Just expensive.
Yes, definitely.
Well, if you do move to San Diego, come be our neighbor.
Yeah. I didn't know
that's where you guys were.
We'll go to Burning Man every year. Yeah. 10 Hell days.
Yeah. We'll have our own Burning Man in the backyard. That's right. Or G10.
We'll have our own. Or G10.
But seriously, if you ever do come to California, especially anywhere near San Diego,
we would love to hang out. Yeah, for real.
Oh,
love
absolutely. It.
You're definitely like absolutely one of our faves.
Yes, we love you time. So very much. But as you know, we end our show by asking if you could go back in time and tell yourself or anyone else who's struggling, what would it be? What would something you would tell yourself?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that question today because I knew y'all were going to ask it. And I think the biggest thing that comes up for me right now is the not making myself right or wrong, really not making myself wrong for the things that I've done or experienced. And really recognizing that that's all part of my journey. And, you know, and I get to go through those things. Everything happens to me for a reason. And so if I'm struggling, like life's happening for me and I get to request for support, you know, and not to be afraid to ask for support. Yeah. I jump into vulnerability and ask for support, not making myself wrong.
Mm. Well, Carrie, we love you so much and we're so excited.
I'm so grateful we caught up.
Yeah, me too.
So,
and I'm so excited to just keep watching you.
Yeah, me too. If this is 2 years.
Yeah, right. In 4 years or in 2 more years, we're going to talk to you. And I don't know. You're just,
I want to be like the roaming reporter for you guys.
Yeah,
you
are.
It'd be so fun.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Yeah. You're in.
But yeah, definitely. I'm excited to just keep watching you, you know, change the world in the only way that you can. And I'm excited for your growth and that you're going to just keep growing.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me. I so appreciate it. I love you guys. Y'all are amazing.
It's so funny. We were talking about this before. It's like, we always get so nervous before podcasts. And we're like, that's Carrie. Like,
yeah.
It's not that we don't look forward to other people's. We just get very nervous.
And it's like, we haven't had our laptop took a crap randomly a couple of weeks ago. So we haven't had an interview. We've had to reschedule a lot and we haven't been behind the mic. And you're our first interview that we've done in probably well over a month.
Yeah.
And we're like, but it's just Carrie. So you know what? It's cool. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I nap today. It doesn't matter if I have coffee today.
Just Carrie, you mean in the best way possible.
Like you're just our homie. We're just going to chat with you. Like it's not anything, you know, we just know you and we feel so comfortable with you. So
exactly.
Oh my God. That's great. I feel the same. I came with my coffee and I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit and
chat. Exactly. Well, we love you so very much. And we hope you have a beautiful day and we'll chat soon.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Love you guys.
All right, we love you too, Carrie. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye.